You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with AJ McQuarrie, the 28-year-old founder and CEO of Karma Box, a San Diego-based company whose internet-connected vending machines sell healthy snacks, drinks, and care products. He's writing a book. He's on the board of directors of the second largest LGBT business chamber of commerce in the country and is transforming a once sleepy business with partners in nearly 50 cities across the country while helping people conveniently eat food that's actually good for them. And that's always good. And AJ, we appreciate your time and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me, Eric.
You're welcome. So if you would, for starters, tell the story of your path to success. It wasn't a simple or straightforward one, but once you got to the right spot, things really took off, I hear.
Yeah. I mean, if only entrepreneurship was as glamorous as they made it out to be in the movies, right? You know, it's like the big yachts, the private jets. It's been an incredible journey, that's for sure. I started Karma Box Vending 7 years ago when I was in college. I was going to school up in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Up in Canada. And yeah, just started the, you know, it was like a light bulb that went off in my head. Like, why aren't healthy snacks in vending machines? Why are healthy snacks so hard to come by? And it was just when healthy eating was starting to become a lot more popular. And so that little light bulb went off in my head and I went ahead and I started the business. I started with 6 vending machines and I started it out as a full service healthy vending company. So I got my own locations. I stocked my own units, built my own systems. And I changed my business model a couple of years ago, but I had a different business model at the beginning. And it was awesome. I got to be on the Canadian version of Shark Tank. It's called Dragon's Den. I was on that show. I was on it twice, actually. And about a year into the business, I got to go on and pitch it to the Dragons. After that, I was in a little bit of a funk. I moved back to Boston. We did not get funding the first time around. We weren't offered anything. And I moved back to Boston where I grew up and kind of went back into that employee mindset, rather. I got a job at a Starbucks, worked at Starbucks for a few years. And it wasn't until about 2 years ago when I changed my business model to a business opportunity model and really got to scale the business that way. And it's been, you know, uphill ever since. I got to quit my job at Starbucks and focused on building the business. And yeah, we're now in about 50 cities across the country. And it's been an incredible journey. It wasn't easy. And if you were to look at, you know, the timeline of that, the first 5 years, I was broke, I was struggling, you know, I had jobs and I was in college and there was always something going on. And it wasn't until 2 years ago when it really took off. So that persistence certainly paid off.
And congratulations. That's quite a journey. I can feel the pain and the success from here. Tell us exactly what is Karma Box. You're also careful to say that it's built on a business opportunity model rather than the very similar franchise model. What makes it unique and how do you make money from these partnerships with local entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so basically, you know, Karma Box Vending, if I were to give you a little sound clip of it, it's a nationwide healthy vending company. So, and we offer healthy snacks, drinks, care products in our vending machines that we call Karma Boxes. We don't like to say vending machines. It's kind of like a bad word these days. So we call them Karma Boxes, and that's our trademark. And we have a business opportunity model, which is similar to a franchise. Legally, they're different. And a lawyer would be better to explain the difference between the two, to be honest with you on here. But I have a business opportunity model, and that was really the fastest way to scale the business and to get in all the cities that we're in. And we call them independent operators. and they own and operate healthy vending machines, karma boxes, in their cities. And we give them equipment, we give them locations, we get them locations, we train them, there are warranties, they get support, you know, it's like a business package that they're purchasing. So it's very different from my original model where I would buy vending machines, find locations for them, and stock the vending machines themselves, and my main source of revenue is off of the snacks. I don't make money off of snacks anymore. I make money off of selling, you know, the business packages that we sell. We're like almost like brokers, and we help people get set up at businesses, and that's ultimately what we do.
That's awesome stuff. Now, what were the three keys to your success, three things you started doing that helped bring Karma Box to its current level of growth and expansion?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would say the biggest key to my success, the first one I would point out would be changing the business model. When I changed it 2 years ago, that was really how I scaled the business so quickly. I went from, you know, having just a few of my own machines to being able to have a bunch of machines in a bunch of different cities with our branding on it by having other people invest in the concept. So changing my business model to that business opportunity concept, that franchise type model, that's ultimately what helped me succeed. And that would be, I'd say, the first key to success in my part. Also, you know, pivoting, and that's kind of linked to changing the model, just, you know, maneuvering and figuring things out. And when things aren't working, you change it, and you need to be very fast and quick and, you know, making decisions on a regular basis and just pivoting and changing and making adjustments as needed. That would have been another key to my success. And, you know, like I said, I moved back to Boston. I got a job at Starbucks. I went back into that employee mindset. But I'd say my third key to success was kind of shifting out of that, shifting back to my entrepreneurial mindset that I did have and kind of tapping back into that, leaving my job at Starbucks, and which wasn't easy. I was a manager. I became a manager. I had my own store. I was on a salary. I had great benefits. You know, they're always dangling that carrot of, you know, you can possibly be promoted. And, you know, that is, it's a trap that you can easily fall into. Some people, they love it and that's their thing. And, you know, great. For me, it just wasn't my thing. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I had that bug itching. So, yeah, shifting my mindset was another key to my success.
Thanks for sharing that with us. Today we are joined by AJ McQuarrie, the 28-year-old founder and CEO of Karma Box, a San Diego-based company whose internet-connected vending machines sell healthy snacks, drinks, and care products here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, AJ, you're a very young entrepreneur, a millennial. We always hear complaints by executives at older big companies that millennials are very different employees and sometimes cause problems for the established ways that companies work. But you have argued that the traits some big companies' executives don't like in millennials are exactly the traits that can make millennials great entrepreneurs. Tell us, what are some of those traits and why do they work so well in a startup world?
Yeah, millennials definitely have a bad rap. I feel like other generations hate us for whatever reason. We just have they say we have a lot of bad qualities. So, I mean, I think some of them off the top of my head that I can think of, you know, that they say are bad qualities, I think you can kind of turn them around and say, well, this is, you know, the flip side of it. You know, the idea that we have a sense of entitlement. I'm not saying it's not true. I think a lot of millennials are entitled. I don't know why, and I really don't want to get into that. But I think that sense of entitlement also builds a sense of confidence, you know, optimism, willingness to try, you know, unlikely things. So that sense of entitlement also leads to ambition. And, you know, we have visions. We can set the vision because we feel entitled. Yeah, we can do whatever we set our minds to. So I think that's a very important quality to have as an entrepreneur. So, you know, that sense of entitlement, that's what I would say to that. You know, they say we're phone drones, we're always on our phones. That's very true. I'm very guilty of that. But, you know, on the flip side, look, we're very adaptable. We love technology. We embrace technology. And I think that's very important with business today, being able to, you know, with the whole concept of having a lean business model, being able to adapt and maneuver and just create things and leverage technology before you even invest in it. I think that's a very important quality to have as well. You know, we're job hoppers. Sure, I think that's true to some extent, but I think that's more on the changing job environment rather than the actual millennial. I think companies today, you know, they're not as secure. It's not like IBM 50 years ago when you got a job and you stayed with the company. It's a different culture. So that's also good for entrepreneurship because we're not loyal to companies. We're not, you know, we'll learn from companies. Like, I love Starbucks. I love Starbucks as a company. I'm so proud to have worked for them. But, you know, I quickly jumped ship when I could to do my own business because, you know, I want to do that. I want to do what Starbucks is doing. So, yeah, those are kind of some of the, you know, what they say about millennials versus, you know, what the flip side of it actually is. I think millennials make great entrepreneurs. I think we're very persistent, resilient, and I think it's good. I think it's going to be good for the future of our economy.
And I think so too. You're also a board member of GSDBA, the Greater San Diego Business Association, which is the second largest LGBT business chamber of commerce in the country. What attracted you to get involved with that group? And do you think that LGBT entrepreneurs face particular challenges getting businesses up and going?
Yeah. So I am an LGBT entrepreneur myself, and I moved out to San Diego about a year and a half ago, and I got involved with GSDBA because I wanted to align myself with like-minded people. And, you know, I was new to the city. I wanted to meet other entrepreneurs and, you know, business-minded folks. So I looked into GSDBA. I went to a few of their, they have like mixers here every month, which are fun, like networking events. But then, you know, I dug deeper and learned a lot more about GSDBA and the mission and what they're trying to do, and talking about LGBT business owners and LGBT, you know, the power of the LGBT dollar. And it was just cool to kind of see that. So I ended up being, I wanted to get a group together of young LGBT entrepreneurs, and it kind of started talking to the CEO of the organization and the chairperson of the board. And they ended up inviting me to be on the board of directors, which was really cool. So basically, you know, to answer your question, I think, well, that did answer your question in one sense. That's kind of how I got involved with GSDBA. But I think LGBT entrepreneurs are, you know, I think we make kind of like great, like millennials, why millennials are good entrepreneurs. I guess I'm an advocate for this sort of thing. But I think LGBT entrepreneurs are also great because, you know, we go through a lot. A lot of LGBT people struggle in their childhood and just coming to terms with it. It makes you more resilient. It makes you tougher. Another big quality for entrepreneurs. So.
Now, you're writing a book right now. What's this about, and why are you writing the book?
I am writing a book called Pivot to Your First Million, and it's essentially about how I turned a $20,000 investment into $1 million in about a year. And it's just about my journey on building my business. I think the main motivation to write this book is the fact that a lot of people want to start businesses, but a lot of people don't know how to go about it, or they don't have the courage to do it. They're afraid. And there's like this phenomenon of entrepreneurship. It's like everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. It's very hot right now. It's talked about, and it's a legitimate path for people to take. You know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, if you were being an entrepreneur, they'd say, what are you doing? It's not a real job. But I think that truly has shifted in our culture and our mindset. But not a lot of people know how to go about doing it, and a lot of people are afraid to take that first step. So Pivot to Your First Million is basically a story about how I built my business and the obstacles I overcame. It wasn't easy. I've had a lot of events happen, not just with business, but with life, personal tragedy I went through. So I kind of wanted to share my story and give people advice on how to build companies.
Sounds like a good read without a question. Now, in conclusion, do you have a tip or a tool for entrepreneurs to help them to be more successful?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess I have like a couple tips, but I'd say my big tip would be, you know, find your big reason why you're doing what you're doing, because entrepreneurship is a roller coaster ride. I'm going back to the beginning of the conversation. It's definitely not as glamorous as they make it out to be in the movies. You know, gray hair at 28 and bags under your eyes, that's kind of like the look for entrepreneurs, at least in the beginning and at least when you're starting out. It's not easy. So when you have your big reason why you're doing what you're doing, when you have that strong motivation deep down inside, and it could change, you know, like when I was at Starbucks, it was when I was working at Starbucks and serving coffee behind the counter, and I didn't want to be there anymore serving coffee to these affluent people at my store. You know, I was in an affluent town outside of Boston. So, you know, your why can change, your reason can change, but if you know it, if you understand it, if you feel it, then that roller coaster ride is going to be a lot easier to tolerate. You know, when you're going down, you can stay on that ride. I'd say my other tip would be to give up. And you don't really hear that a lot. A lot of people say, you know, never give up, and giving up is kind of this taboo topic. But I think it's important to give up, not give up on your dream and your goal and the overall vision, whatever you're trying to achieve, but giving up on the steps that it takes to get there. Because as entrepreneurs, we get stuck in our own ways and we can be very stubborn, and it can be hard to see like what's working and what's not working. But you need to have that insight, and you need to be able to take action and, you know, change and maneuver. And going back to pivoting, that's a huge part of becoming an entrepreneur and a successful entrepreneur, is like knowing what to give up on and, you know, doing it quickly and accordingly and the best way possible. And as for, you know, tools out there, there's so many tools and resources I use as an entrepreneur. People can go to 52startuptips.com, and I give away a free tip every week on entrepreneurship, and they can, you know, it's a video tip, just a couple minutes long. So if people want more tools and resources and tips, I think that's the best place for them to go.
Well, AJ, certainly has been good to have caught up with you and to hear your story, and the continued success to you. Where can listeners get more information about KarmaBox?
They can go to mykarmabox.com.
And it doesn't get any easier than that. Well, AJ, again, thanks for your time and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio, and have a great 2017.
Yeah, you as well. Take care.
You bet. We've been speaking with AJ McQuarrie, the 28-year-old founder and CEO of KarmaBox, a San Diego-based company whose internet-connected vending machines sell healthy snacks, drinks, and care products. And for more information and for contact, simply visit mykarmabox.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.